X-Men. No longer am I the woman you knew. I am fire and life incarnate. Now and forever, I am Phoenix!
X-Men the audio drama, The Dark Phoenix Saga, Episode 5, Dark Phoenix Rises. Narrated by Sam Devereaux, with the voices of Omri Rose, Natalie Winter, Rex Anderson, Ryan Lawton, Joey Sawless, Tyree Peterside, Jason Rivers, and Keith Seymour.
Phoenix stands high above the uncanny X-Men in brilliant, fire-shaded light, looking down upon those she used to love, that Jean Grey loved. But Jean Grey is no more. There is only Phoenix. A new Phoenix. The calm green of her old costume is gone, replaced with a blood red. If they could describe the look on her face, they would call it contempt.
Those words. She said them when she became Phoenix. Jean, what are you doing?
Jean Grey is dead. I am Phoenix!
No. You said all this before, and you still came back to us.
That was then. Mastermind stripped away the last of that mortal identity, that shell from my mind. But I have wasted enough time here. I am called to the stars where I belong.
No!
Do not try to stop me. There is enough of me that is still Jean that does not wish to hurt you. But I will do what I must.
Then you must.
Aurora takes to the air upon her mustard wind, rising to meet Phoenix in the sky.
Stop!
Storm cries out as she is blasted from the sky, sent crashing back down into the open chasm that used to be the Hellfire Club's roof.
Storm!
With a quick port, Nightcrawler teleports to Storm and catches her, then porting back to the ground safely and lowering his unmoving friend to the charred carpet.
Storm's hurt! We need to get her out of here!
No, Jean, I won't let you go. You can fight this.
Cyclops lets loose an optic blast at full pelt up into his lover, but it just bounces off the fires of the Phoenix Force.
You don't get it, Scott. You no longer matter. You are as small to me as an insect is to you. You can't stop this. Now, sleep.
With a flick of her wrist, a telepathic attack overcomes Cyclops. His eyes close, and he drops to the ground.
Summers! Jean, why?
He would not have stopped, and I do not wish to kill him.
And Storm? You have...
She will recover. Now I've wasted enough time with you, X-Men. Goodbye. Our paths will not cross again.
For a split second, those that remain conscious think they see Jean's face change into one of unimaginable grief. But it is fleeting, soon replaced by the uncaring, unmoving snarl that is the Phoenix. Without another word, she blasts off, taking to the upper atmosphere in mere seconds. The Phoenix bids farewell to her homeworld and soars spaceward to fulfill her malefic destiny. Back on the Earth, Angel now arrives on the scene, flying down through the new hole in the roof to land next to his allies as they begin to regroup.
Scott! Can you hear me? Are you alright?
He's out, rich boy.
What happened? What is Jean talking about? Where is she going?
I suggest we get out of here first and ask questions later, Angel. Cyclops and Storm need our help.
Okay. Nightcrawler, help me get everyone somewhere safe.
On it!
The humans, and those trying to appear so, below can do nothing as the X-Men are flown and or teleported one by one to a hidden safe distance. There they wait, as a phone call home brings Hank with the Blackbird. They are soon able to stealthily make their way home, licking their wounds both physical and within. Back at the school, Xavier sits on a call with an old friend.
I felt a tremendous blast of psionic energy, Moira. As if someone had triggered a giant psychic H-bomb. The effect passed quickly, but...
I can confirm what you already suspect, Charles. The source was Jean. Phoenix is out of control. I've been looking over my tests on her. The readings, well, they're like nothing I've ever seen. It took me months just to figure out how to read them. What happened to her?
The simple explanation is that absolute power corrupts absolutely. The Phoenix is more powerful than anything we could possibly understand. So much power, so soon. Combined with the manipulation of Jean's mind by Mastermind. It set free the worst of what the Phoenix can be. And Jean lacks the awareness, the experience to control her now almost limitless abilities. This power was meant for an ageless god. But it has fallen into the body of a scared, flawed young woman.
Can we bring her back?
She is far beyond my reach. But I know someone who can. I have contacted Lalandra. One of her Empire's starships are tracking Phoenix as we speak. It is in their hands now.
And those may still not be good enough. The Shi'ar vessel nearest Earth tasked with tracking the Phoenix lost her in minutes. Another ship in the fleet, hundreds of light years away, would pick her up soon after. That vessel now approaches the readings.
Acknowledged, Storm Chaser. We have her in our sector now. Approaching to intercept at best speed. How could she have gotten here so fast? She traveled hundreds of light years in a split second.
This is the Phoenix, Dawnstar. The stories we heard as children are true. Her powers are infinite.
We'll update you when we have more. Dawnstar out. Tactical, where is she?
She's entering the Dabari solar system.
What do we know of it?
11 planets, one of them inhabited. Population of over 40 million post-industrial sentients.
Follow at best speed. Why would she come here?
Why indeed? She does not know her destination. She just knows she needs to soar. It was with terrifying ease she created a Stargate and transported herself here to the far reaches of interstellar space.
Ugh, that took more out of me than I thought. My power is growing, but for the moment it is still finite. I do not like it, but I still have limits. Ugh, I'm ravenous. Before I go on, I need sustenance. That star will do nicely.
Without so much of a thought to the consequences, she dives headfirst into the heart of a G-type star, much like our own sun. Its diameter is 1,000,000 miles, surface temperature 6,000 centigrade, core temperature well over 2,000 times that, 14 million degrees. Normally, this star could expect to live for another 6 billion years, but now its future is measured in a matter of minutes as it is suddenly, completely consumed by the Dark Phoenix. Orbiting the star is a system of 11 planets. The fourth is inhabited by an ancient, peace-loving civilization. Those on the planetary day side see the light first, the awful light of Armageddon filling the sky from horizon to horizon. 10 minutes after leaving the murdered star, the scorching light hits the planet's surface. Most who see the sight, the last thing they will ever see, are confused, frightened. A small few who realize at once what has happened have only moments to curse their gods for their cruel fate. Then, they all die. Following the light at a comparative snail's pace comes the wake of the heat flare. The instant it hits the atmosphere and oceans on the day side boil away, the steam and superheated air whirling around the globe in a flaming shockwave that obliterates all in its path. Those few awake on the night side are treated to a spectacular, once-in-a-lifetime sight before death claims them. But half the world dies in its sleep. They are the lucky ones. And in the center of the supernova she created, Dark Phoenix thrills to the absolute power that is hers. She is in ecstasy. Yet she knows that it is only the beginning, that what she feels now is nothing compared to what she experienced within the great Makran crystal. She craves that ultimate sensation, and she will pay any price to achieve it once more. At the edge of the system, the Dawn Star has a mere few minutes to respond to the awesome, dreadful sight.
The star! It's gone supernova!
Turn us about! Full speed!
The ship quickly tries to turn, tries to use everything they have beyond their limits. But it is not quick enough. Phoenix streaks past them seconds before the supernova hits. She laughs. As the Imperial battlecruiser Dawnstar is overtaken in a light. Scott Summers wakes right as rain the next day, his sleep more restful than it should have been given the dreams he was having. He realizes he is in his own bed back at the mansion. Scott sits up with a start, hurriedly dresses and rushes down to the kitchen where the rest of the X-Men are gathered.
Scott, you're awake. I was worried sick. You look to be in a coma when Hank and I put you to bed.
What happened? Where is she?
Jean is gone, Scott.
Gone? Gone where?
The last I saw, she was flying upwards. The professor says she is in the stars now. Far, far away. The Phoenix has returned to space, Scott.
Then we head out after her.
And how do we do that, Summers? You got any faster than light spaceships hanging around this place? I know how you feel, buddy, but there's nothing we can do. She's gone.
Lilandra, we need to...
Lilandra just contacted me.
Xavier wheels himself into the room, an ashen look on his face.
Her people found the Phoenix in a distant part of the galaxy.
And?
They lost contact with the ship, but not before it transmitted images of what destroyed it. A supernova. One created by the Phoenix.
A supernova? How could she...
They think she fed on the star. All of it. She destroyed it. And the entire solar system.
Oh my. Was it inhabited?
Tears now form in Xavier's eyes.
Yes. I'm afraid so. The planet and the ship were lost with all life.
Scott Summers steps back, as if hit by a shockwave himself.
No. No, she wouldn't do that. Jean...
is gone, Scott. As she said, now there is only Phoenix. And it has just killed millions.
What can we do?
Something, I hope. Lilandra's people are tracking the Phoenix. It is on its way back to Earth.
But she said she wouldn't be back. Why return?
I don't know. But we need a plan. Because if she chooses to feed again on our sun, it will be the end of our world.
And plan they do. Hours pass, allowing Storm to fully recover, and for Wolverine, Nightcrawler, and Colossus to work out their frustrations in the danger room. Hank McCoy, meanwhile, gets to work on something that might give them a fighting chance. Cyclops and Storm watch within the mansion's sub-basement labs as Beast works.
Will this actually work, Hank?
I think so. The Phoenix may be all-powerful, but the source of Jean's power is still her mind. If we can get the psionic scrambler on her head, she won't be able to concentrate. We can cut her off from her powers, from the Phoenix Force.
What if her mind is still broken, even without her powers?
That is a problem for another day. First, let me... Yes! I got it. This thing should work. Now we just have to figure out how to get it on her head.
I can't believe we're fighting her.
Yeah. But we don't have a choice. And we may be the only people on this earth that can get through to her. I did it once. I can do it again.
As the threesome trash another Danger Room session in Victory, they are having a similar conversation.
I thought hitting something would help me feel better. It has not.
Yeah, Jeannie is... She's special. Look, no matter what the Phoenix has made her do with that body of hers, inside, she's still Jean.
I hope that is true, Logan. You three, come on! Everyone on the jet!
What's happening, Birdie?
Xavier has picked her up. She's back. And she's heading for New York.
Where?
Annandale on Hudson, New York. A sleepy little college hamlet some 50 miles northwest from the X-Men's mansion headquarters. The Phoenix flies down at lightning speed to land before a house on Annandale Road. This house is where Jean Grey grew up. She left here 5 years ago to join Xavier's School for the Gifted, to become an X-woman. She returns as Dark Phoenix. For a time, the young goddess stands, unmoving in the front yard, wondering why she came back here, then heads indoors. The house is dark, empty. The look, the smell, the feel of everything is familiar, unchanged. And yet these memories and experiences now seem to belong to someone else. This is Jean Grey's home, not Phoenix's. She now heads up the stairs towards her old room. Jean Grey is a gentle, loving woman who cared so much for those she loved that she defied death itself to save them. Phoenix is a destroyer of worlds who cares only for herself. Yet, Jean Grey is the Phoenix, the Dark Phoenix. She was once all that is great in humanity. She has become all that is terrible. The stair lights switch on as someone emerges.
Who's there?
It's me.
Huh? That voice? It can't be. Jean? Jean! It's been weeks. You haven't messaged or called. We've been worried sick. Elaine! Sarah! Come see who's here!
Moments later, Jean's mother and older sister emerge, the family gathering in the lounge.
Hey, sis! Where have you been?
Jean! What are you doing dropping in so late? What are you wearing?
It's nothing, just X-Men stuff.
Did Xavier design that? You look like a stripper.
Jonathan! He has a point. And the news, they say you're dangerous.
But we don't have to believe that nonsense. We know you're doing good.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
You look thin. Are you eating enough?
I'm fine, Mom. I am not fine. My powers. There's no barrier anymore. I can hear everything they're thinking. Feel everything they're feeling. They love me so much, and yet...
Your mother is right, Jean. What are you doing here so late? What's wrong?
Dad's worried about me, but he hides it well, just like Mom. Sarah is terrified. She has two kids. She knows I'm a mutant. She's wondering if they're mutants, too. If they'll turn out like me. And what's so wrong with that? I am power incarnate. I am the Phoenix. I hold the fate of the universe in my hands. You all fear me. But you try to hide it with sweet words.
Honey, no. Of course not.
You should fear me!
With a thought, Jean blasts a wave of power from her outstretched hand and turns the nearby plant into crystal.
My God!
Jean! What are you doing?
You see that? I could just as easily do that to all of you.
Who are you? What are you? You come here pretending to be my daughter? What do you want with us?
I am. I was your daughter.
No, you're not. And I want you to leave. Now.
Dad. Daddy. No, What's your tone with me, old man? You dance with death now. And that... What? Huh?
Jean turns her head to look out of the front window.
Where did that fog come from? Storm.
The phoenix blasts from the house, ready to do battle.
Where are you, Weather Witch? Come out and face me!
Ta! Surprise, Liebchen! I'm truly sorry about this.
Nightcrawler appears in a puff of brimstone on her back, placing Beast's metal scrambler upon her head.
But as the saying goes, it is for your own good.
Feel sorry for yourself, misfit. What is this thing? What are you?
Jean cries out as she throws Nightcrawler off her.
Whoa!
Beast catching him in a ball out of the sky.
I got you.
Danke, Beast. I hope that Watsit of yours works.
As do I. But if it wasn't, then I doubt we'd be here talking about it.
Oh, my mind. Fire. I can't concentrate. Can't use my powers.
Colossus moves in and grabs her from the air by her left foot.
Do not fight us, Jean. The harder you struggle, the more you will be in pain.
Surrender to the likes of you, Colossus. I'd rather be dead!
Peter cries out as Phoenix sends him flying with whatever power she can muster. It is enough.
She won't give in. She may be evil, but she is still Jean Grey. And she fights with all of her strength and courage. Jean, stop!
You were a dear friend, Storm. But do not think that will stop me from striking you down. And this time, you won't get up.
In the name of the love we share, let us help you.
The love we shared, Aurora. I will weep over your grave.
Temper, temper, Carrot Top.
Hank now jumps onto Jean's back from a nearby tree, trying to restrain her.
We're running out of time. My scrambler is glowing. Jean's fighting its effects, drawing on more and more raw power. She's burning it out.
I got her!
Wolverine, no, wait!
Logan charges, tackling Jean Grey to the ground, trying to pin her down.
Get off me!
This isn't working. Beast's thing is making her weak enough for this to be a fair fight, but she's breaking out. She's still too strong for us. Getting stronger all the time. I got no choice. I gotta end this now. Permanently. Forgive me, Jeannie.
Do it, Wolverine.
Wolverine looks down in stunned sorrow as Jean's face becomes hers again. Tears now streaming down her cheeks as he hovers his razor claws above her head.
Jean.
Do it. Now while you can.
I can't!
Now, Logan. Before I...
Hurt you.
Wolverine is sent flying as the Phoenix effect now returns, engulfing Jean's body. She rises, ripping the scrambler from her head.
Nice try, X-Men. But you failed.
Phoenix now reaches out with both hands and catches each of the X-Men with her power, raising them up to face her in terrible, writhing pain.
Farewell, old friends.
No, Jean! If there is anything human remaining within you...
There isn't! Any last words, X-Men?
Jean, stop!
Phoenix turns to the tree line where Cyclops appears walking toward her.
Cyclops, I was wondering when you turn up. Have you come to fight too?
I came to talk,
No more talking.
Then kill me. I can't stop you. I won't even try. Be true to this, whatever you have become. Do what Phoenix does and kill me.
Phoenix just glares at him.
You can't, can you? For all your words, you've had plenty of chances to kill us, but you don't. Why?
You're not worth killing.
No, Jean. It's because no matter how much this Phoenix has overtaken you, you are still Jean Grey. No matter how hard you try, you can't exercise that part of yourself. You can't kill us because you love us, and we love you.
The Phoenix knows nothing of love!
Oh? Then why have you fought by our side this past year? Saved us? You came back to us. You resurrected yourself for your love of us. Of me. You saved the universe because you love life in all its forms. Jean, you are love. Everything you are comes from the noblest emotions a human can feel. Do you deny it? Do you deny us?
Yes!
Her face changes.
I hunger, Scott, for a joy. A rapture beyond all comprehension. That need is a part of me, too. It consumes me.
It doesn't have to. Trust me. Let me help.
Jean arches her back, blasted by an invisible force. Cyclops watching in confusion, catching her from falling, until Charles Xavier rolls up across the lawn.
Professor! Why? I had her.
You had her distracted. I was able to get close and mind blast her before the Phoenix broke free again. Now I must finish this. Stand aside.
You heard him, my love. Get back.
Phoenix rises up, pushing off with a telekinetic wave that pushes Cyclops away.
You old fool! You dare to challenge me? You have signed your own death warrant.
Xavier is blasted from his chair, crashing hard into the grass of the Greys' front lawn. Inside, the terrified family hold each other, not knowing what to do.
Perhaps, Phoenix. But I am in part responsible for what has happened to you. I will put it right, even if it costs my life.
Guilty, Professor. You should be. You unlocked my telepathic powers after hiding them from me for years. All of those lies. You used me for your own means. And even when I tried to leave, when all I wanted was a normal life, still your enemies came for me. But what I did as one of your X-Men. You killed me as surely as those Sentinels did. And now I am Phoenix because of it. Behold your creation, Charles Xavier.
I cannot change the past, but I can save you now from yourself.
Save me? I am what was, what is, what will be. The Black Angel, the Chaos Bringer. I am power.
Power without restraint, knowledge without wisdom. Age without maturity, passion without love. I must stop you, Jean. And I must. I will win.
You are welcome to try.
Xavier locks his eyes with Jean's emerald irises as the Phoenix Firebird rises into the night sky. The Psy War begins. The insane young telepath against her teacher in a death duel between the strongest mutant minds on Earth. The struggle is epic, waged simultaneously on all the infinite planes of existence. Xavier fights long and hard, the entire street, the town, the city skyline being covered in a massive storm of unimaginable power. He works to beat the Phoenix back, seeking to bind it within an unbreachable network of psionic circuit breakers. The end comes suddenly. One moment, the Phoenix effect is lighting up the countryside like a small sun. The next, Jean Grey collapses to the ground like a puppet, with its strings cut.
Jean!
Cyclops now rushes to her side, the Phoenix costume now gone, leaving the bare form of the human that remains.
Professor, is she... Did you...
I almost lost. I would have lost. But I sensed Jean fighting the Phoenix with me, helping me. We did it together. It is over, Scott.
Jean, can you hear me?
For a long moment, Scott holds her unmoving body, until finally, Jean's eyes open to look up at him with adoration.
Hi.
It's really you.
It's me.
The two now embrace in a kiss as the X-Men gather round.
Angel, when did you get here?
I was Xavier's ride-in. Looks like we got here just in time.
Jean's family now emerging from the house to join them.
Stay back, Sarah. Let your father handle this.
Is she?
She is herself again.
Here, Jean, have my robe.
Jonathan Gray rushes to place his gown over his naked daughter.
Thanks, Dad. Dad's blushing. That's a first.
Xavier, what the hell has been going on here?
I'll be happy to explain everything, Dr. Gray. But first, could I trouble you for some tea? It's been a most strenuous night.
But before anyone can move, however...
Ah! Dad!
The X-Men are washed over in a bright white light, vanishing into thin air, leaving just the three Greys alone. Alone. I'm very confused.
What the hell was that?
Where'd they go?
Where, Sarah? Why, high above the Earth and into the audience chamber of Shi'ar Empire's grand flagship. They stand on the central floor as hundreds of Shi'ar look down upon them from the rows above. The vessel seems to pulse orange light from its cool silver bulkheads. The designs of talons and other bird-like features are a staple of the architecture. It is without doubt an incredibly alien vessel. The X-Men appear, standing before the gathered Shi'ar Royal Guard. And, at the head of them, in regal command before her throne, is Lilandra.
X-Men, you stand in presence of Lilandra, Magistrix and Empress of the Shi'ar Empire. Hear her words, for your fate is in her hands.
Lilandra, what is this?
You are friends, X-Men. You saved the universe and gave me my crown. It gives me no joy to say these words, to do what must be done, but the Phoenix must be destroyed.
X-Men, the audio drama, The Dark Phoenix Saga, Episode 5, Dark Phoenix Rises. Narrated by Sam Devereaux, starring Natalie Winter as Jean Grey and Dark Phoenix, Omri Rose as Cyclops, Rex Anderson as Wolverine, Joey Sawless as Beast and Colossus, Ryan Lawton as Nightcrawler, Tyree Peterside as Storm, Jason Rivers as Charles Xavier, Keith Seymour as Angel, Emma Gibson as Lilandra, Isabel Wolfe as Moira McTaggart, David Jeffries as Gladiator, Rex Anderson as Dr. Gray, Tansy Fennelly as Mrs. Gray and Sarah Gray, Steve Porter as the Starship Commander, Anthony Elio as the Starship Crewman. Music and score by Declan Gilgallon. Sound effects sourced from freesound.org. Written by Chris Claremont with John Byrne. Adapted and edited by Carl Dutton. Next time, the finale. The Fate of the Phoenix. X-Men is the copyright of Marvel Entertainment and Disney. This is a fan, no profit production. No infringement.